introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it
this.
To Mo Williams. Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
Okay, well, we are back with maybe a special edition, maybe not. Maybe we'll do these more often as we go. Episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I'm your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And we are here with immediate, instant reactions, overreactions after the tie ball game.
Nah, there are no overreactions this
okay
point.
no overreactions. There are all no the reactions will be the like, appropriate
I'm
level.
I'm gonna keep it real. Right now, like, no overreactions.
Okay, I love it. And as you can see, our man Miles is fired up. No QB1 today, he couldn't join us, but you know, with the way this game went, we just felt like we needed to get some takes recorded immediately. So we are just gonna jump right into this. We got no show notes, we got no prep, we just wanted to get some emotions on tape here. Miles, you are fired up. What's going on, man? What you thinking? What are your thoughts after this up and down game in which, you know, it looked like the Packers were gonna win, and then we came back and looked like we were gonna win, and then we tied. But man, yeah, just go ahead, Miles. Where are you at? What you thinking? What are your immediate reactions following this game?
I'm for real letting Daniel Carlson, wherever he wants to go, he can go. He's not coming back to Minnesota. Like, that's a wrap. Like, Kai Forbath's already on a plane right now back to Minnesota. They might even be bringing Dan Bailey in just for shits and giggles. Just like, hey, let's see what we got. Mike Prefer can probably take that bus with Daniel Carlson because his special teams have looked terrible all preseason, the first part of the season. So it's a wrap, man. Like, yes, at the end of the day, we got a tie, and it's way better. It's better than us losing that game because there were so many opportunities for us to lose that game. And I would have understood us losing that game. But at the end of this reminds me, like, this was a shootout compared to that, the 2015 game against Seattle in the playoffs. But like, at the end of the day, no matter what happened, we had a chance to win the game at the very end. Like, at the end of the day, no matter what. Like, that's how it all came down to it. All the luck, all the plays that bounced our way, all the plays that bounced their way, that whatever, it ended up with 4 seconds on the clock, 35-yard field goal, chip shot field goal for your kicker, and y'all couldn't get it done. If he makes any of those field goals, any of the field goals today, it don't even matter, right? Like for real, like, no matter, like, if I'm Mike Zimmer right now, I'm trashing Daniel Carlson. I don't care, because we've known for so long how he feels about kickers in general. But making him draft a kicker in the fifth round, to trade up to draft a kicker in the fifth round, him struggling the preseason, and then still let the veteran walk, and then he misses all three kicks today. Like, what do you do? Like, if I'm Mike Zimmer, I'm like, what do I do? Like, what do I do with a kicker? Like, I'm not ever kicking anymore. Because what's the point? Only positive, I will say, well, not only, but big positive, Kirk Cousins balled out today 100%. Like,
and y'all laughed at me, though. Remember,
that game, that game today was exactly why they paid him $84 million guaranteed. Because
y'all remember a couple days ago when I said Kirk Cousins wouldn't go out there and ball and play a better game. Aaron Rodgers, y'all was laughing at me and stuff. And then, you know, Kirk Cousins went out there.
I wasn't laughing because Aaron Rodgers is hobbled. But
y'all laughed a little bit, though. I mean, there was some laughing
coming from you. I laughed. That's what I laughed.
Yeah,
but
that's
no,
fair.
For real. Like, that pick, he never should have had an interception. Yada yada. Like, Treadwell, any little, like, string that I had with you, it's over, bro. Like, it's cut. You might as well walk home with Daniel Carlson too, man. Like, it's a wrap. But I've also been saying that they needed to go get a veteran receiver. So if they want to go get Josh Gordon, go ahead, because I'm all for it. Because at the end of the day, what happens if Diggs and Adam Thielen go down? We don't know. We can't rely on Treadwell. Can't rely on Coley. Brandon Zilcher doesn't know the plays. Like, oh, my God, dude. Keep five receivers and none of them besides the top two can play. So what's the point?
Woo! Ooh, love it. Sexy Prince, let me get you in here because I know you got takes and Miles is fired up. And I feel like with every sentence, Miles, I can hear him fighting back the curse words. And you're doing it so far, Miles. Good job. Prince, what are your thoughts watching the game? I feel like you've just settled into, you know, that very familiar, we laugh to hide the pain that the Vikings fans do, that we do so well. Because I see that smile on your face, man. What are your thoughts after watching this up and down game, where for the majority of this game, it looked like we had no business being, like, winning or having any chance to win. And then, you know, I mean, it's technically better than a loss, but it doesn't feel like that right now. I guess, what are your thoughts on everything, man?
Well, I mean, it's the last thing that Miles said. He talked about the wide receiver situation, and I've been a proponent for, like, basically this entire offseason. I'm one of the guys I wanted to draft was a wide receiver high because I knew that we were going to be in a situation where that third wide receiver is going to play such a crucial role in this game, and we saw it. Treadwell had two of which were extremely crucial. But the Vikings decided they wanted to keep going back to him. And we knew that that third option was going to play a role. I've tried to defend Treadwell, not to the extent of Miles, but
No. It's a wrap. Like, there's no,
I'm just saying I've tried to in the past. I think that, I mean, we've seen him, like, this was a big game, you guys. It was huge because at the end of the day, when we're going to, you know, when we're at the end of the season, and we have to get all these little tiebreakers. It's like losses against a division opponent, especially like Green Bay, who's probably our competitor. Like, this is going to play a pretty big role. Yes, a tie is better than a loss. But again, if it only half that point is the thing that keeps us from being not, I think we're still going to be a playoff team, not you. I just mean, like, you know, if we get home field advantage type things, when you start calculating that this is going to be play a huge role. As far as the Dan Carlson thing, the reason why you saw my smile on my face, I tweeted it out. Like, I have the standpoint that this dude was going to miss those field goals. I had the standpoint because at the end of the day, people kept asking, why is Kai Forbath still here? Understand, you draft a kicker in the fifth round, you should cut that veteran. You should know for a fact, like, this is the guy moving forward or whatever. The Vikings chose to keep Carlson up until 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks. And then they cut Kyle Forbath. That should have been your little alert that went off and be like, maybe we don't trust Carlson as much as we should. We can release him, probably get him back on the practice squad. If he's our future, that's fine. But at least you have a guy in Kyle Forbath that you know is a lot more reliable. But I mean, you had enough issues with him in the preseason and during training camp, all that stuff. Is he supposed to make those field goals? Yes. You get into the 35-yard line, 4 seconds to go. Like, that should be pretty much automatic, but he missed it. Like, he missed the two other kicks prior to that. But I also don't put it all on Carlson. I know everybody wants to blame him, but that's not me. Like, at the same time, you had 17 seconds with two timeouts. You could have, A, gotten the ball a lot closer for Carlson, knowing that he struggled this game, or go for the kill shot. You know, just go for the touchdown. I mean, you have the wide receivers to do it. You have Stephon Diggs. You have Adam Thielen. Take a few shots. You miss it, you're still in the same situation. But they chose to rely on a guy that they knew for a fact was already problematic. And I don't think I can completely absolve Mike Zimmer and the coaching staff for letting Carlson go back out there after missing two field goals, mind you, one of which probably would have ended the game the first time around. Putting us in a situation where you have to rely on him again. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I know everyone's going to be heated. The reason why I'm smiling, like, maybe it's because I was in negative whatever degree weather when I watched Blair Walsh miss that field goal, and I've removed that portion of my heart that really cares when we lose based off of kickers and stuff. But at the end of the day, like, this was my expectation if we were going to rely on Carlson. And at the end of the day, again, I don't just blame Carlson. He should be cut after this game. There should be no, we'll give him another chance. No, like, this should be an easy decision. Just cut him, get Kai Forbath, Dan Bailey, any of the kickers that are out there, go get them and move on. But at the end of the day, it's not on a Carlson. I mean, there was enough times where, I know we say Kirk Cousins bald. I think I love second half Kirk Cousins a lot more than I like first half Kirk Cousins, and there was
what? Still stop!
I do. No, I do. Stop. I seriously do.
What did he do?
No. Miles, this is what I'm going to say is what I saw as far as Kirk Cousins. I saw an ability to drive the ball down the field in the second half. I saw him make a lot less. Like there was a little ticker that was, as far as his mechanics, that you could tell was really off, and it was starting to bother him, especially in that second quarter, and then towards the end of that first quarter as well too. But as the second half rolled around, specifically in the fourth quarter, you saw him play a lot better than he was. I don't think he played. I don't think he balled the entire game, but I do think he did more than enough to win this football game. And because of miscues from special teams, because of other things, didn't help him out any more. So
what I'll say in that regard, I feel like what we're gonna have to, what's gonna be tough, kind of coming out of games immediately, kind of, I guess, you know, critiquing or analyzing how Kirk Cousins played is how tied he is to what DeFilippo is calling. Like, Kirk Cousins isn't Aaron Rodgers. He isn't the guy who's going to go out there and kind of wheel and deal and improvise and do a lot of things. Kirk Cousins, until the game really got out of hand, I know that we, you know, messaged, and there's a lot of stuff on the timeline where, like, our play calling was super conservative, and it just didn't seem like we wanted to open things up a lot. Everything was really dink and dunk, and there was not a lot of continuity until we just had to, and they opened it up and let Kirk Cousins kind of do what he does and had been doing in Washington, kind of playing from behind, airing the ball out. And I feel like that's one of the things that that we as a fan base, us specifically, are going to need to try to figure out, kind of upon rewatch, how we separate, you know, Kirk Cousins and how he's executing what he's asked to do versus the results. Because I feel like Flip was kind of to blame for some of what was going on earlier, because the Vikings didn't really start scoring until the fourth quarter, when it was like, we gotta go now. Like, we have to go. If we throw an interception, 20, it doesn't matter. 22 points.
Which is crazy. You know? Like, that's insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like some of that's them finding their way, but I feel like Kirk Cousins, for the most part, did what he was asked to. Yeah, there were a couple plays there, and, you know, that, you know, phantom call on Clay, where, you know, it was an interception that, okay, we'll put that one on Kirk. The other one, that was straight Treadwell, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And football is a cruel game, man. You know, Treadwell Truthers, y'all were about to have your time, your moment. Like, no. Randy said, y'all were in the lab writing up diss tapes, diss tracks for all of us. First touchdown, all that on the first week. Nobody predicted a touchdown for Treadwell. First week, he goes out there and gets it. But then just for the rest of the game, there were a couple of places it looked like he ran the wrong route. Obviously, he leads to the costly interception.
I mean, and there was obviously a lot of miscues between quarterback and wide receiver in this game. There was enough plays where wide receivers went shallow. Kirk expected them to go a lot deeper. So I again, through rewatch, you have to determine if that was on the wide receivers versus on Kirk Cousins. But, I mean, Diggs, Thielen, and Treadwell, all three of them had a miscue. So it is going to be a little more difficult to try to determine, was that on Cousins or was that on the wide receiver? So that's something I'm definitely going to be digging into this coming week, to see where some of those miscues were actually happening, and, you know, what did the coverage actually tell the wide receiver to do?
Yeah, I'll jump into with a Cousins thing. What I really liked about him the most, I think, today, besides some of those big plays that they needed in the fourth quarter, was some of his movement in the pocket. He did miss a touchdown pass. I think would have been a touchdown pass to Adam Thielen, like, where he ended up getting hit in the backfield and he broke away and Thielen's wide open. But I don't know if he would have been able to make that throw anyways, just because of where he was getting thrown off his balance. But I really liked his improvisation today. Like, he did a really good job moving around in the pocket, because he knew where the pressure was coming from. So I really liked that he was able to improvise and still look downfield and not just take off and run, but he was able to make plays down the field and throw to his receivers. Like, Adam, he found Adam Thielen a lot on broken plays, which I really liked. So I was really impressed by that.
Yeah, and as much as Zimmer hates it, and I know that a lot of this probably is just in Zimmer's DNA. He's a defensive coach. Like, he's, you know, he's put that 21-point number out there before. But honestly, I think, you know, the thing that he hated about Case Keenum, the improvisation, the gunslinger mentality, I mean, that's kind of why Kirk Cousins put up the stats he did when he was in Washington, right? Like, they threw the ball a lot, and a lot of the times because they were behind. But I feel like in today's NFL, I mean, we saw it today, you know, from the Green Bay standpoint, it's like, no lead is safe with the way defense and the rules and everything are set up in the league. Just score points, man. Like, let Kirk Cousins do what you brought him here to do. Open up the offense. Let those receivers go get it versus, you know, running Dalvin Cook into, you know, Dalvin Cook is making three guys miss in the backfield to get 2 yards on a run. you're averaging 3.8 yards per carry. Like, open it up, throw the ball, get a lead, and then run down the stretch when the team is tired. Like, I feel like that is the way for this team. I feel like that's why you brought in Kirk Cousins. As much as people are saying you brought in Kirk Cousins to bring you back at the end of games and all that, you're not going to win most of those games where you have to come from behind all the time. Like, get a lead and let this defense go hunting. Let them be the aggressive ones versus, you know, chasing the game like we were today. But yeah. I mean, at first glance, and again, I know this is just first blush watching it, you know, on TV as a fan, I find it very difficult to have any real criticism of Kirk Cousins coming out of this game.
For sure.
Carlson, I mean, 0-3, bruh.
0-3, man. I mean,
0-3. I mean, come on.
When he missed the second field goal, Mike Zimmer is like, you know what? Forget it. Because I think when he came out, he said he blasted Carlson, and I said, like, I don't like him doing that in the public, where he chose to go for the touchdown instead of going for the field goal. Like, he already made that decision. And in a game that's this crucial, you don't make that decision. I can't put that all on Carlson.
That's a really great point. You know, Zim went out there, blasted the man, was like, we're going for it if he can't make them. And then after he's missed two already, you send him back out there with the game on the line. Yeah, I feel like in that situation with the time that was left, just from a game management perspective, there was an opportunity to be aggressive and just be like, let's go score a touchdown and end this game. Let's throw it. You know, Kurt's balling. The wide receivers are getting open pretty much at will when we run them further down the field. Like, the screens and stuff like that, they were fighting for every yard that they had to get. But when we were going downfield, it seems as though the wide receivers were getting the separation. And, I mean, it shows in the numbers. I mean, Thielen had 13 targets, 12 receptions, 131 yards. Diggs had 13 targets, 9 receptions, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns for Diggs, 1 for Thielen. Like, just throw those guys the ball. You know, throw those guys the ball. Stop throwing it. Throw it to Dalvin Cook. Man. I mean, you got Kyle Rudolph. He actually had a decent game today. You know, 7 receptions, 72 yards.
He broke a tackle.
Like,
but no,
as much as I see, like, you know, I'm going to throw it to the open guy, I almost feel like that's letting the defense off the hook when that open guy is Laquon Treadwell instead of throwing it to, you know, Thielen or Diggs.
But the hard part, though, Jason, is you do need to, like, scheme dictates throw to the open guy, right? Like, as a quarterback, your job should be, if your guy's open, throw it to him. It doesn't matter who it is because he's a professional athlete, yada, yada. But my question is, and this is what I was trying to bring up in the offseason, and why I'm kind of surprised they didn't keep Kendall Wright, is what happens if AT or Diggs go down at all? Like, what happens? Because as we saw today, Treadwell's not going to be anything. We know it. Stacy Coley had a drop. He looked like he was, you know, he doesn't look like he might even be fully up to speed because he missed all of preseason. Brandon Zisser looked lost out there, like he didn't even know the plays. So, like, what do you do? Like, my question is, like, what do they do? Because, like, there's forcing the every pass to Diggs and Thielen. I get it. But, like, at the end of the day, you need that third receiver to be able to trust and throw the ball to. And if it's not going to be Treadwell, that's fine. But I don't think they have that guy in the roster anyways. So, like, what do you do? Like, you got – like, you, like Kirk Cousins says, he's going to keep throwing him the ball because he's open. So, I'm going to throw the ball to the open player. At the end of the day, like, if he's not going to execute his job, like, that's not his fault. The coaches aren't finding somebody else to come in and replace him. That's on the coaches. That's not on him. He's just going to throw the ball to the open player. So that's my struggle with it all. Is we've heard all the rumors and all the rumblings about how the Vikings were looking to trade Treadwell in the offseason, yada yada. They had all these opportunities to bring players in. They could have gotten Dez Bryant probably. They could go trade for Josh Gordon. Who knows what they're gonna do? But they haven't upgraded some of these key positions, like the third wide receiver position. They didn't do enough, as we've talked about, potentially along the O-line and at linebacker. So those are the three positions, in my opinion, where they've really struggled to hit some of the key points. And we saw that today. And that all came out today. And that's a big problem. And obviously, kicker. I mean, we talked about that. But Jason, I wanted to ask you a question, jumping back to your initial point about the defense.
Real quick, because I just wanted to touch on a point that it was a good point, Jason, because we all have played pickup basketball, right? In terms of letting the defense off, like you said, Jason, when you see that guy who can consistently not make three-point shots, what you going to do? You're gonna let him – if he's the guy that you see wide open and he's behind the arc, whatever, I'm gonna sag off like you always do. And that's probably what the Green Bay did as it pertained to Treadwell. They sagged off quite a bit. I mean, I'll go back and rewatch it, but – yeah, I mean, if I have to keep double teaming Thielen and Diggs consistently, so they're not having the one on ones that they have, then yeah, that's the decision I'm gonna make defensively. Because again, look at what happened when you had to rely on Treadwell. So, anyways, Miles, you go ahead.
No, that's exactly it. Like, teams are just gonna scheme that. Like, teams are just gonna take away those two, and you have to have a third guy. And if it's Rudolph, great. But like Rudolph, we've seen the limitations of Rudolph. Two. So at the end of the day, whatever. But I'm that rant's over. Jason, you mentioned the defense. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on the defense's overall performance. Like, yes, they overall did a pretty good job of not letting up a lot of touchdowns, but it really felt like the Green Bay Packer offense was doing whatever they wanted. Obviously, not in the red zone as much, but like basically between the 20s, they were doing whatever they wanted. Dink and Duncan. Like, I don't care if it's Aaron Rodgers or not. Like, Aaron Rodgers is on one leg today, and you could see it. The fact that they were letting him go up and down the field really bothered me. And at the end of the game, 31 seconds left, you sag off and you let them give up big plays. And they had a chance to win the game at the end of the game too. Their kicker missed, but still, like, the I don't know, and I might be over – to this point, I might be overacting a bit, but I really did feel like the defense did struggle quite a bit throughout the game. They did make some of their key moments like we've seen and we expected them to. But it did really feel like they missed some really key opportunities, and they let Aaron Rodgers do his thing even on one leg, and I was pretty bothered by it.
I don't know. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is special. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I feel like he can go out there and he can do a lot of things that are, you know, I mean, our defense is a very good defense, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers is another level, I feel like, most of the time. And what I appreciated against, though, you know, I guess the way we schemed it up against him is that I mean, it took him a lot of throws to get, you know, the yards that he was able to get. Like, his yards per attempt today would put him, if we were looking at kind of last season comparison, put him down there in, you know, Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton type territory in terms of yards per attempt. So, I mean, we were making him work really, really hard for everything that he was getting, not giving up a ton of big plays. Like, I remember at one point where, like, he scrambled to hit Jimmy Graham for maybe it was like a 16-yard gain or something like that. And they're like, that's the biggest play of the game to date. Like, he was really having to work for everything. And like you said, he was moving the ball up and down the field, but holding Aaron Rodgers to, you know, and an offense led by Aaron Rodgers to field goals instead of touchdowns, I feel like those are wins for the team overall. I mean, again, this is just, you know, first time watching as a fan, right, not really going back and studying. I felt like the defense did okay. Like, I feel like they did what they needed to do.
I guess it was,
they did okay, but I mean,
missed tackle.
The tackling was atrocious early.
Yeah,
they couldn't get the edge. They were getting taken off on any play action pass that Aaron Rodgers was doing. They were getting ripped. Like, even the quick throws, like play action quick throws, like they were getting killed to the sidelines.
And Miles, this might speak to you know, one of your favorite guys, but Davante Adams was absolutely abusing our DBs.
Abusing Xavier Rhodes.
Like, well, like, yeah. There was a few times where he was on Wayne's, admittedly, but yes, it was mostly Xavier Rhodes. And I tweeted out, it was actually, and I can't say if this was just a bad game for Xavier Rhodes or Davante Adams was just having a tremendous game, but he was getting open consistently on Rhodes. And it was, to speak to your point about what the defense was, I think as far as defensive line goes, I think we were doing a fairly good job creating pressure in the interior, not allowing Rodgers, even though he was hobbled, not to escape on the outside. So, I mean, it was on the secondary to really make those plays. So, I mean, I blame more the secondary than I do anything else, because they were getting abused by Davante Adams. They were getting – Geronimo Allison also was making quite a few plays. I mean, there was a few routes there where
– I mean, people made plays, but when Aaron Rodgers throws for 6.7 yards per attempt, I mean, it's tough to say that they were really – like, we lost on some plays, but I feel like overall, within the scheme of the entire game, I mean, that feels – like, Aaron holding Aaron Rodgers to 6.0 yards per attempt, I mean, that feels like wins.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't disagree with you. I definitely felt like – this was
there were just key moments to me that I was like, they really like couldn't get off the field on like 3rd and 11 and stuff like that, like stuff that we saw. And I know it's Aaron Rodgers, so I definitely think there's a grain of salt to take with it. But like, it really just felt like there were some really key moments that the defense did not make the key plays that we'd normally like to see them make, especially when you pay all those guys, you invest all that draft capital on these guys. Like, go make some of those tackles. There's way too many missed tackles today. And yeah, and like I said, I know overall the defense played pretty well holding Aaron Rodgers, but like, to let Aaron Rodgers dink and dunk his way down the field, like, to the fact that you're missing tackles is what killed me the most. Like, that's right. And then there's just blown assignments. Like, I know Mackenzie Alexander's his first game back, but like, it took a while for them to even put Mike Hughes back in the game, to put him in the game. And that bothered me just because I thought Hughes played well last week. And yeah, so I don't know. There's small things. Like I said, I could be overreacting a bit, and I'm sure I am. But it just felt like there were some key things that they missed that we're not used to seeing this defense do.
I think to kind of encapsulate this entire pod, this will be a very fun and interesting rewatch game that we have to go back into. I think dissecting like really every quarter, every play, it's gonna be fun.
I can't go back and watch this game. Y'all go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to. But as far as based last week versus this week, I'm a lot more excited to rewatch this game just to see little schematic things, you know, like technical things, see where the Vikings went wrong, see some of the things that they were doing really well. I still think Sheldon Richardson is playing at a very high level. I know he's
get that,
but I mean, there are things to take away from this game. And I think Sheldon Richardson might be our three technique of the future, which I think is really reassuring to know that we have found a guy like him.
Yeah, man. Even Weatherly even flashed.
He came in there, he flashed. Can I jump in real quick? Yeah, which is, you know, because I feel like we've been going like very negative. I mean, you know, we didn't lose. The probability was that, you know, we probably should have at many points along the way. But
according to Vikings Twitter, we've lost. So.
I mean, anytime you feel like you have an opportunity to win, and like you said, I think like you both have said, you know, the field goal kicker goes out there with a 38-yard field goal to win you the game. I mean, you're supposed to win that game at the end of it. But Brian O'Neill. Obviously, we need to wait for a rewatch to really pay attention and hone in on him on a snap-by-snap basis. But, you know, first glance, you know, Rashad Hill goes down and it's what are we going to do here? But, you know, as someone, probably the guy talking on the microphone right now, had predicted that Brian O'Neill would get in sooner rather than later. And from what I can tell, I didn't really hear his name get called, which for an offensive lineman is usually a good thing.
At first glance, he looked really good, Jason.
Yeah, it seemed like he did all right. Like, yeah, there's, I think, going to be the issues in the run game for our entire offensive line for the entire season. They aren't strong, it seems. They can't push people off the ball. But pass protection seemed to hold up. I guess, what did you guys see when Brian O'Neill came in? And do you think that even if Rashad Hill does get healthy, that Brian O'Neill just kind of keeps that spot for the rest of the year?
I'll say two things. I think Brian O'Neill played really well in this game. Pass protection, I think, was, I would say, more than above average. So, yes, I think that for his first game, I think he played phenomenally. I don't know if I'm ready to crown him, hey, right tackle, just because he's our guy. I would probably still want to have Rashad Hill back in there, just because you do still have some flexibility there. But as far as the answer to that first one, I think Brian O'Neill played really well.
Yeah. Well, all right. I mean, we said this was going to be like a quick hitter here. I guess, do you guys have any other big points that you wanted to bring up here? Obviously, you know, we'll circle back on this when we do our regular recording, and, you know, everyone's had an opportunity. Everyone but Miles has had an opportunity to take another look at things here and see what's cracking. But any other biggest key points you guys want to bring up before we wrap this thing up?
Stefon Diggs is a cheat code. That two-point conversion. Oh, yeah. My goodness. That was the most disgusting thing I've ever. Oh, my. Ugh.
Ugh. And this is the thing, and this is one of those things that I wanted to, because, you know, I joke about it a lot. Adam Thielen and Stefon Diggs are both very good players. You know, shout out to my man Jake Anderson. You know, started Thielen in a redraft league, balling for me, love it, getting those points per reception. But when I say that I feel like Stefon Diggs is a better player, it's when we get that part of like productivity versus efficiency. And I just feel like in real football terms, they both are very important. But generally speaking, a target towards Stephon Diggs is, you know, a higher, you know, expected point type of target. Like Thielen eats up all those targets close to the line of scrimmage. And yes, he does get downfield every now and again, but every time we throw to Stephon Diggs, it feels like there's a chance we might score a touchdown, you know? And I feel like that's what makes him so valuable. And every time we like needed a play, Flip seemed to scheme something up to get Diggs, you know, isolated to go and do work on somebody. And so that was also nice to see. Nice to see him getting back in there. Yeah, scoring some touchdowns, getting some targets. And overall, I just want that fourth quarter offense. I want that all the time. That's my only real takeaway is that, Zim, you have a great offense. I want them to be a great offense starting in the first quarter where we get to blow some people out early and let our pass rushers go hunt.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's just go beat the bricks off of the Bills next week. Sounds like Vontae Davis retired at halftime. So.
Oh, yeah, I definitely wanted to bring that up before we went off. That is, that's Hall of Fame.
Right. Levels
of not giving a, you know.
Yeah.
That man went in at halftime was like,
I'm not coming back out.
Yeah, this ain't for me. He just put on his street clothes, retired, and
he got his game check. So
he's like, I'm going home.
Right. Oh, they didn't show Diggs' 2-point conversion route. Oh my God.
Arif tweeted it out, and it's oh my goodness, it's so good.
Yeah, it's filthy. Filthy, filthy, filthy. But that's it, y'all. Thanks for listening to us here. This is not your usual put together analysis that has been, you know, read over, watched over, you know, numbers poured over and all that stuff. This was immediately after. Wanted to get some thoughts because obviously after a game like this, there's a lot of emotion. So we'll be back later in the week with our usual, you know, Bills game preview, more in-depth recap of this game. See if any of these takes have changed after, you know, we have watched again. Miles's takes will not change because he's not watching it again.
But I do apologize. And I apologize for some of the overreaction, but it is what it is. Like
it is what it is.
I'm heated right now. So
I love y'all. Remember Kelly Campbell?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it was like either Saturdays or Sunday mornings or whatever. He had his little show. He always be like, hey man, it is what it is. Loved it.
But I mean, I will say this, and you know, there's a delicious bit of irony in the Packers basically losing this game, not losing, I guess not winning this game because of the emphasis on, you know, gently laying quarterbacks to rest on the ground after you sack them. Yep. That became a point of emphasis because Aaron Rodgers doesn't know how to break falls. So yeah, I mean, I'll take that out of here. I'm petty, you know, we probably didn't deserve to win the game. We didn't lose
but
the game.
We had the chance to win.
We had a chance to win. But I will take solace in the fact that Green Bay probably should have won that game, and that victory was stolen from them by the refs based on the Aaron Rodgers rule. That's what I'm going to latch on to right now. Also, if you haven't, go find pictures of Fitzmagic on the interwebs looking like looking like Conor McGregor now, because it is hilarious.
My man with the chain and the oh my goodness. You better go ahead, Fitzmagic. You better go ahead, son.
This is my team now, Jameis. I'm the captain.
He said, come on now.
Oh, but I mean, you know, Dez is still out there.
I would go pick up Dez. Like
Dez is out there. Josh Gordon is out there.
Go get Dez. Like honestly. I said go pick up Dez, and people are like, no, he's blocked. You want
Dan Bailey?
Dan Bailey is not signed because he must not be healthy. Like, teams must not trust his health. That's my opinion on it. But if he's healthy, oh, yeah, go get Dan Bailey. Go give him a cool $2 million or whatever you want to do. And
give Dan Bailey whatever we got left.
Yep.
Tell Dez he can get the veteran minimum with some fake money for next year. You know, so his contract looks okay. You know, he can say that he got paid when we know good and well that, you know, he didn't. But, yo, get somebody. Get a veteran up in here, please.
Yep.
Please. All right, that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a special edition of the Climb in the Pocket podcast. I'm your host, Jason Brown, here with wide receiver one, who's very disappointed in the wide receivers not named Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Here with QB4. Is it 3 or 4? Can't remember. Did you get promoted, Yanka?
I'm sorry?
You QB3 or QB4? I can never remember.
Oh no, three, bro.
Okay, QB3, QB3. My bad.
Yeah,
QB3.
I'm making the roster. Like, I'm not a camp arm by any means. I'm making the roster.
You're not a practice squad. You're main team level.
Yeah, I'm inactive on game day, but you need me.
Well, that's it. That's all. We will talk to you soon. Have a good one, y'all.